Yes, Lord, we come to you this morning. We exalt your name. Your name is most high, Father. We thank you so much for bringing us here this morning, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that you would speak to each of us, Lord, personally and corporately through your spirit, that you would meet each of us where we're at, Lord. Help us, Lord, to trust in you and no other. So, Lord, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat, guys. Okay, real quick, I have a couple of my own announcements, so I'll go through that very quickly. As Bill mentioned, high school retreat is this coming Friday. So there's still, yeah, praise the Lord, youth group. It's this Friday, there's still room. So if you guys want to come, don't feel like that you can't, but you can. So get a hold of me by Tuesday, no later than Wednesday, because Wednesday is the cutoff day. I got to get everything going, get with Marvin and finish everything. I called off Marvin too. Me and Bill are in trouble now. but yeah, so I encourage you, if you have not got on board, it's going to be amazing. We broke off high school and junior high because the Lord is blessing us with a lot of kids, so I thought it would be really special for them. So we're going to Silverwood Lake. It's going to be just completely insane in the Lord. The theme is walking by faith. We're doing something a little different this year. We're going to have several Bible studies, but we're going to really do the interactive, what it really means to walk by faith. So we're really excited about what the Lord's going to do. Real quick, we also have Junior High Girls Bible Study for 7th and 8th graders. I'm very excited about this. But high school girls are welcome to come. It's every second and fourth Thursday starting on August 28th from between 7 and 8 p.m. It's going to be here in room 12. There's going to be prayer, worship, and fellowship. Contact information would be Sue Rodriguez and Gloria Del Carmen, and also me. There are flyers out in the foyer, these little cute little flyers up here. So I encourage you guys, you parents, just to really encourage your kids to get involved, especially in the Bible studies. Lord's opened up for high school Bible studies, junior high. Everyone's welcome to come, of course. All these events that we do it for the kids to stay focused and plugged in. It's all about the Lord. As Bill shared up here, some of you guys are here, some of you guys weren't. Yesterday we had an event with Greg Glory's church. The SWAT team, some of you guys were here on Wednesday night where Pastor Steve Wilburn came out and talked about the harvest for the impact class. So we teamed up with probably at least four or five Calvaries represented there, different churches. The youth groups came, and what we're doing is inviting people to the Harvest Crusade, but we're doing it in a way where it gives the kids an opportunity to share their faith, to exercise the evangelistic skills that we all should use, because we all have, because we have the same spirit. But it was really cool because we teamed up, and then it was cool as Pastor Steve got everyone out of their comfort zones. You know, we all met in a parking lot. He goes, you, over there, over there, over there. And it was amazing how you can see the kids got out of their comfort zone with different kids that they never knew and went out and shared their faith. I mean, some of you guys had your friends with you, but most of it was different people. And it was just an amazing time. The Lord was really using these kids. I would be looking around, and, you know, I was teamed up, but, you know, I kind of do my own thing. I hover around the kids, make sure everything's cool. And just seeing them sharing their faith, you know, praying with people. You know, and I shared this first service, and Alan's like, what'd you talk about me for? Seeing Alan, sitting there and seeing Alan up here playing bass, I've known Alan since he's been junior high, and seeing him grow up and being here and playing bass for you guys Sunday morning, like the Apostle John says in John or 3 John, there's no greater joy. To see these kids living out their faith, that's what it's about, guys. And we need to come alongside them as the Lord leads and raise them up and help them out. But with that, Satan doesn't like it. Amen? Yeah, we're doing what God wants. Satan don't like it. He just wants to, you know what? He wants to knock you down. And he's trying with me. As Bill said, he didn't get explicit, neither will I. But we got done with street witnessing, and then it's like, well, let's bust the kids. So Tom and CJ got a pit for us. And first of all, interesting day. We got done totally just on a spiritual high. Okay, everyone, okay, let's meet at the beach. So we get in our cars, and I have my group of kids. We go to the car, and my car, and you guys can all know now, if you guys want a free van, it's easy. You don't need a key. It just starts. Yeah. But with that, so I don't carry keys. So I locked the van. So we get there, it's like, we're locked out. So we called AAA, and then we have Sarah over here. And then Courtney, they're, you know, like, they're getting bobby pins. I'm like, yeah, right. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So all of a sudden, we're waiting there, kicking back, just being goofy, waiting for AAA. And all of a sudden, we look up, Courtney's inside the van going, boom, boom, boom. Got it. She was bobby pins and broke into my car. That's what I'm training your youth to do. But see the little victories there? That was awesome. Then it was just like, oh, this is so cool. So we're going to the beach and there was a miscommunication. They're on one side of the beach, we're on the other side. I was on a different tower for Pier 5, cruising around for an hour just to find a parking spot. And the Lord hooked me up with a great bunch of kids in my van because they just kept it goofy and real. So that was fun. And then we went to the beach doing our thing. We got around, I don't know, 6:30 or something. All of a sudden, it's like, I got a pain in my side. It's like, okay, maybe I ate something or I have to go to the restroom. So I go to the restroom. Oh, man. I'm passing kidney stones again. This is my fifth time, so please pray for me. But then it's like, you know, I take my ibuprofen and it's like my stubborn self. It's like, oh, I can do this. And, you know, we had to teach, got the bonfire. I couldn't do it. And I thank God for my leaders. They're saying, you're going home. You know, Tom, CJ, and the Lopez's, and they took me home. It was the best thing to respond to God's spirit as I pray. Because I started praying. I'm like, Lord, bad timing or what? You know, I had to teach in the sanctuary. It's like, oh, I'm not going to be alive. But, yeah, but I'm feeling good. It's a little painful, but you know, praise the Lord. When I'm up here, I forget about it. So praise God. And looking at you guys is amazing. It is a blessing to be in here. Before I used to get all freaked out and nervous. It's now just hanging out with you guys and sharing the word of God. We're the family of God and we're being knitted together. I don't care if we're in the back or in the fellowship hall. The kids are out here. This is just a blessing. So anyways, with all of that, let's pray once again. And what we're gonna be talking about today is really trusting in God. We say we love him, but why is it so hard for us to trust him? You know, we're like, ooh, ouch. You know, but we're human. And that's true. And when the message was birthing, and I was talking to other people, and, you know, Greg Walsh was one of them. He's like, well, we're human. And that's totally true. But how many times do we milk that, and that turns into a cop-out after a while? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're only human, but we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we see people in the Bible that have the type of faith to get things done, amen? And you are the people of God can do the same, but you gotta stay focused. You gotta trust in him who he says he is. And to find that out is getting really into the word of God. But there is some dangers with trials that we face. How many here face trials? You know, how many here is going through something physical? You know, but yeah. I wouldn't change it for the world, praise the Lord. What's funny is this wasn't planned, but it kind of really ties into the message, and actually one of the, I think, first or second song talked about it. And what I do is I do my devotion, but I also have Wisdom for Today by Chuck Smith. You guys need some add to your devotion. This is like daily bread plus. It's like, you know, about four loaves. You know, it's great, great stuff. You know, well, you guys are awake, praise the Lord. But, or, you know, if you're struggling with a devotion, this will get you going. This will get the fire started. But I read it this morning before I came to church, and it was amazing. So let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you so much to have the freedom and opportunity to meet with you. So, Lord, we pray you would pour out your spirit in this place, Lord, and speak to each of us. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And the title of this devotion is Love Grown Cold. And this verse comes from Matthew 24:12. It says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. There are some who once burned with holy zeal for the Lord, that they had a deep devotional life, full of time spent in the word and in prayer. But their fire went out. Satan crept in gradually, destroying both their witness and their relationship with the Lord. Though they'd once rejoiced to have delivered from the muck and mire of the world, they returned like pigs to the same muck and mire. Jesus foretold in Matthew 24 that the love has waxed cold. Jesus warned us about those things that can extinguish the fire of our hearts. And this morning, I believe he's really exhorting us, guys, that we need to take heed to ourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with the carousiness, drunkenness, the cares of this life. And a day will come, and unexpectedly, and it talks about that in Luke 21:34. Carousing means giving oneself over to the appetites of the flesh, drunkenness, whether by alcohol, drugs, or yes, the Lord steps on toes, and I love it. Excessive TV watching is a number, is numbing or clouding of your brain, numbing or clouding your brain to the point where you can no longer think clearly. The cares of this life are those that keep you so busy that you no longer have time for the things of the Spirit. And this morning, I really believe he's speaking to all of us. What is the condition of your heart today? Does your love for Jesus burn brightly, or has your love for him grown cold? As you walk in this journey the Lord has given us, sometimes that happens. From different circumstances, trials that we face, you know, the enemy, of course, people, it can pull our hearts and our eyes away from the Lord. And when that happens, that kind of messes with our faith. And if it messes with our faith, sometimes it messes with us trusting in him for everything. And that's what we're going to look at today. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. I want you to kind of hold there for now. Okay? I'll get there eventually. But again, the title of the message is, we say we love him, and why is it so hard to trust him? Again, as I shared earlier, yes, we're human, but you know what? We can't use that as a cop-out or water it down so we can live a lifestyle contrary to the word of God or experience that abundant life he wants for us. Because if we're holding way too tight in things in this world, it sucks out our faith. We got to remember, we're just passing through. But one thing we can really understand to really find out where we're at, and I love John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You guys can see where your walk's at if you're being obedient. If you're not being obedient, are you really loving him? Think about that. And if you're not being obedient, then guess what? You're probably not trusting him. So that's something we need to take in consideration. And guys, every day you need to wake up and spend adequate time with the Lord. It's so imperative that we develop that relationship he longs to have with us. Okay, and I did this first service, and I'm going to do it this service too. Our catchphrase in youth group is, intimacy produces consistency. Okay, I want everybody to say that, okay, with me. Intimacy produces consistency. If you have that intimate time with the Lord, then you will have that consistent walk he longs to have with you. It's kind of a no-brainer, but we all struggle with that, right? Yeah. You need to figure out individually what is getting in the way. And if something's getting in the way, then it's going to trigger and snowball into so many different areas of our lives. But if we're trusting him, then guess what? We're loving him. If we're loving him, guess what? We're growing. We're being transformed. You know, one of the verses that speaks to me the most, it's like, how many here have life verses? The verses that just speak to you like no other. Well, mine and youth group really knows, except for I will make no names, but someone texted me, where's that at? And you should have known. This person knows what I'm talking about. He just sunk in his chair. But mine is Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I take that each and every day, go before him, Lord, this day is yours. I am your bondservant. I'm your living sacrifice, whatever you want. I got to start my day like that. Even when I do that, a couple hours later, you get a little squirrely, don't you? You know, things get in the way, people get annoying, you get hungry, you get tired, and you take your eyes off the Lord. You need to stay focused. You need to go back and ask him for some more. Lord, give me some more. You know what? Yesterday was an amazing day out there street witnessing with the kids. And right when I feel that feeling, it's like, usually it's like, take me to the hospital. You know, I want to be a big baby. Give me drugs. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm like, Lord, whatever you want to do. I'm back at, take the pain away. And he did. He did it to a point. Usually when I have this, Shannon takes me, I get home and it's like, oh man. My biggest fear wasn't passing the kidney stones, believe it or not. It was how my wife was going to respond when I get home. She's looking at me and said, well, told you to drink more water. And she's not being insensitive because this is my fifth time, so it's understandable. But we're supposed to laugh at that one. We got to be careful, you know. I mean, I find out the doctor says it's genetic, but I got to be careful, you know, because they say too much vitamin C, calcium, dark colas. I love my soda, and they don't love me, apparently. So anyways, you guys need, we need to take care of ourselves. And guys, when the Lord shows you something, we need to respond in every ways of our life. We need to trust him. He says, don't do this. Guess what? It's probably for your benefit. Amen. Yeah. But sometimes we like to fight against, no, I want that. But then it's like, oh, I like it, but it don't like me. You know? Yeah. But guys, in loving him and being obedient and doing that, it must, we must have faith and trust him. Okay, you guys, just kind of hold your spots. But in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you want to turn, that's fine. I'll give you guys a lot of verses that you guys know and probably love. But it's a really great exhortation. Proverbs 3. I put 5 and 6, but let's read, 1 through 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long in life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And here's the ones you guys probably really know. And these are the keys. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean, not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Guys, the word of God is out there for us to take hold and apply to our lives. So we don't have to go through a lot of stuff that we don't really need to go through. Okay, if we trust him and we really don't try to lean on our own understanding and he directs our paths, he's going to lead us into such blessings as beyond our imagine. You know, with this comes the trials and the hardships. But if we put our faith in him, our trust, then he can bring us through. Amen? Amen. God, good, you're still awake. Okay. One more, and we'll get into Matthew chapter 27, but I love this in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, says, blessed is man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and he will not fear when he comes, but its leaf will be green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. Guys, if we apply this, even though we go through our stuff, we're still going to produce fruit. Amen? And that's what God wants from us. But a lot of times when stuff really gets in us, it clogs up our faith or kind of knocks us off the path and puts us on one we shouldn't be on. But we need to basically every day take stock in our relationship. Are we spending enough time with him? In word and in prayer, are we subjecting our minds to the things that we should be subjecting our minds to? You know, guys, the world's all around us. Okay, and again, we are just pilgrims passing through. We got to hold on to it loosely. What was awesome after street witnessing with the other youth groups, it's like now we got to enjoy God's creation. You know what I'm saying? He gives things us to enjoy. But then all of a sudden, here comes Satan, those little fiery darts. But you know what? The Lord gave me victory, and it's nothing me. I just did what the Bible said. Isn't that funny? You do what the Bible says, and it actually works. You know? Serious. It's like, why are we so stubborn? You know? But when we really take hold of the Word of God and apply it to our lives, it is amazing. Yes, I went through some pain, but you know what? He brought me here this morning to do what he wants me to do. And guys, sometimes I know some of you guys don't feel like getting up in the morning. Amen? It's like, no, not another one, you know? But we need to persevere and just really seek the Lord. And it's his strength that we get things done. But we need to love him by being obedient to him. We have to acknowledge him in all of our ways. You know, we need to meditate on the word daily. We today should, and most of us do, believe and trust in the Lord. But sometimes we have a lack or lapse of faith. Amen? And unfortunately, it happens. We need to ask ourselves, are we remembering the Word of God? If you guys are reading it, it's there. If you remember it, it's there for you to help you, to get you where you need to be, to comfort you, strengthen you, reproof you, convict you. You know, all these things that are good for us to grow. And as we grow, guess what? our faith increases and our trust for him increases. And then we can be used by him. You know, in the last, 6 months, but actually the last couple of years, the Lord's really put on our burden on my heart and youth group, not just to grow, but now we're growing. What do we do with it? We need to go tell people. You know, what was cool is when we got into our groups, when Street Witnessing, a lot of stuff that they say, we already do. Praise the Lord. Because we try to go out twice a month to Huntington Beach Pier and do what they do. You know, and that was cool is because these guys at the SWAT team are like the cream of the crop guys that kind of know what they're doing, and we can glean from that. And it was just an amazing time, really utilizing our gifts. And that takes a lot of faith and a lot of trust in the Lord to do something like that. How many years ever street witness, personal evangelize? It's not all an easy thing to do, is it? To strike up a conversation, to be led by God's Spirit. You know, but that's totally trusting Him and His Spirit to do the work. Amen? What's cool, the Lord loves us so much, He gives us the Harvest Crusade. You know, He gives us invitations that we can use that to open up that door to share our faith and invite them. It's so cool. I was talking at the very end, and we were kind of late getting back. But one of the guys was talking to two of these guys. These guys had a mohawk, and he was very polite, but he just did not want to receive what we had to tell him. You know, he's like, well, I believe in all these things. There's holes and everything. And this other guy's like proven, you know, the Harvest guys, you know, just showing him like, no, this is proven fact, blah, 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 blah. And I'm standing there just observing, and I had to speak up. I got to be me. You know, and I'm like, bro, you can ignore, you can try to disprove, but one thing is you have to take everything by faith. Oof, that just opened up a door. Faith, what's this faith? Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, you know what? It's believing in something you can't see. But once you experience, there's nothing else. True faith in the living God, though. But long story short, the guy still was, you know, didn't want to receive it, but he let us pray with him. Isn't that awesome? I'm like, you know, you don't want to receive the Lord? Can I pray with you? And he goes, okay. So, you know, we pray, and I just, you know, it just planted a major seed. I'm like, Lord, just, you know what? Don't, not to us convincing him. By your Spirit, you show him that you're the truth. Amen? But we need to be obedient to that. And the only way to do that is if we truly trust Him and be led by His Spirit. But guys, as we read the Word of God, it should help strengthen our faith. Knowing and believing what Jesus did in His ministry, especially on the cross and His resurrection, gives us tools, but at the same time, not just to share, but tools in our life to boost and enhance our faith. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 27 now. We're going to look, and this is where we're at in youth group. We finished this passage of scripture, and we're going to finish up the chapter on Wednesday. When we get back, we're going to finish up chapter 28, and then we're going to be going into Genesis. I'm very excited about this because the kids are really immersing themselves in this gospel, and basically it showed all the stuff that Jesus had to do. Now we're going to go all the way back and find out why. Because I ask them, well, why did He do that? Why did He have to do this? Well, let's find out. And what's awesome, especially in chapter 27, what I love, there's so much prophecy. You know, Bill, I know Bill loves this chapter. I thought, yeah. I mean, it's amazing to me, especially what does. We believe all this. Chapter 27, there's prophecies in Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22, and there's others, showing years before this ever happened that God executed this plan to a T. What Christ did on the cross. And knowing this, this should help us to trust Him just a little bit more. Amen? Amen. And what's interesting, too, that really blessed me is like, all the way, I think it's in Isaiah where it's prophesied, talks about how the Lord was going to die, the crucifixion. That wasn't even thought of. I mean, it wasn't even birthed yet. And then it happened here. I mean, as amazing as we know the scriptures, we can also use this. And I actually used this yesterday talking to that young man. See, look at. And he goes, really? I'm like, yeah, dude, it's a trip. I mean, it's all true. And you got to talk to them, you know, how they understand. This morning, you guys are going to be a flashback to the 70s and 80s and some of the stuff I say. And that's a trip. I dig it, you know. But let's go ahead and read the story of Jesus dying on the cross. Okay, chapter 27, verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, bear with me, guys, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard it said, this man is calling Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge filled with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it him to drink. Then the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come down and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. In verse 54, so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him were there looking from afar off. And among those was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Josie, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. What I love about this passage of scripture, he did this all for you and I. And it is the infallible word and truth of God. Everything he did was predicted way back when for us. As you guys continue to read the Word of God, I'll just read my notes. It's probably better that way. If we truly believe what we just read and understood it was prophesied years before and was executed exactly the way it was prophesied, then that should strengthen our faith. We need to remember His Word, guys. That's why it's so imperative to get into the Word of God. Some of you guys are past just reading it. Now you need to study it. Why was it written? When was it written? What's the purpose? Amen? And doing that, guys, it gets exciting. Serious. I get so jazzed. There's another one. So jazzed when I look into the Word, it gets exciting. It's like, wow, that connects all the way back here. All the way in Revelation. It's like, you know, that's why I know. That's why I just see Bill is so excited about prophecy, because it's amazing. It's exciting because guess what? It's happened and it's happening. The Lord's coming for His people. But we need to be ready out there telling people so they can have the same hope and eternal life that we have. Amen? Man, I'll fire you guys up, man. Wake up. But guys, we need to remember His Word. Let's look at, you guys can turn with me, Psalm 119. And I love this psalm because it talks about the excellency of the Word of God and how important it is. I mean, the whole chapter, yeah, it's a long one, but it's amazing. Psalm 119. 33 through 40. Psalm 119 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep them to the end. Give me understanding, I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments. I will delight in them. That's the attitude. That's the zeal that we should have, wanting to know Him. As the Holy Spirit gives us the understanding of the Scriptures, and we follow them with our whole heart. Guys, a lot of times we only give Him half of our lives, or three quarters. Amen? He gave all of Himself to us. He wants all of us. And that's a daily going before Him, like I talked about in Romans chapter 12, presenting our lives as a living sacrifice each and every day. Verse 36, it says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Okay, I tried this first service, didn't work out because I got the congregation, I couldn't hear you guys. So I'm going to go to youth group. What is covetousness? I can't even say it now. Jimmy's up, don't ask me again. So someone else step up. Greg. Yeah, we keep it simple in youth group. You can give me the Webster's Dictionary, but it's basically wanting something God does not want you to have. Amen? How many of you struggle with that? Yeah. But don't you think if God doesn't want you to have it, there's a reason behind it? Because usually we get something we shouldn't have. What do? It gets us in trouble. It gets in the way of the Lord, our relationship. It clouds our mind. It weakens our faith. You know, it can snowball into all kinds of things that are unhealthy for our relationship with Him. And verse 37, I love. It says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and reviving me your way. Wow. How many here get caught up in worthless things? I can't even talk anymore. I'm losing it. Worthless things. Yeah. We get so caught up in things that don't really matter. Amen. What really matters is Christians. And you know, Greg Laurie's phrase is the best. To know Him and make Him known. It's simple as that. And then as we do that, he opens up so many doors for us to be utilized by him. And as we do that, it over and over strengthens our faith. 38 says, establish your word to your servants who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for the judgments are good, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts, reviving me your righteousness. And guys, as we go before him, that should be our hearts, that should be our attitude, to want all the things he wants us to have. But sometimes, sometimes we still struggle with this, don't we? Knowing all this knowledge, and the Holy Spirit gives an understanding, but we still struggle. How many here believe that Jesus died on the cross exactly the way it says in the Word of God? Okay, and knowing this, that we should trust him completely, right? How come we don't? It's pretty much the title of my message. And then that gets convicting. And God still loves us. Praise the Lord. But you know what? It reminds me of a story. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 9. You guys all know this story. Actually, it's more a little bit more detailed in Matthew chapter 17. But I just love the statement that this man makes. Kind of just paint the picture for you guys what's going on. And then it's Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 14 through 29. And this chapter, most of you guys know, is Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay, that's where he takes up three of his buddies, three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they see his glory. They're up there while everyone else is down there, down the mountain, and we have disciples trying to cast out a demon. It ain't working. Okay, so Jesus comes down, being who he is, takes control, and deals with this. And this is what we're going to look at right now in verse 14. Okay, he's coming down from the mountain. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed. Running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And Jesus answered in verse 19 and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw immediately, the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything," this is the father talking to Jesus, "have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." I love that statement. In verse 24, and we can relate to this. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." How many of us get there sometimes? God understands. But every time we go through this, and again, he makes himself so real to us, it should just get us beyond that point to trusting him. Because this world, the enemy's going to throw everything and the kitchen sink at you guys' heads to get you. He does not want you walking. He does not want you growing. He doesn't want you to be hooked up in the church, serving or witnessing to your friends and your family. But we need to rise above and just ask him, "Lord, help us. Strengthen my faith." And when Jesus saw verse 25, the people came out running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him. Enter him no more." And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and he came out of him. And he became as one dead. So that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, This kind can come out by only nothing but prayer and fasting." Okay, there's a lot in this these verses that I don't have time to hit on, but one thing I want to do is, guys, in a situation, we need to seek the Lord how to deal with it. Amen? It might not always be the same. That's why we have to acknowledge Him. Lord, what do I do? Don't assume. Because usually, what is assumption? We get ourselves in trouble. Amen? Come on. Amen? Amen. Wake up. But it's so true. How many in a situation, you don't even talk to the Lord, you just go deal with it? No. You need to CJ's laughing. Yeah. You know, I'm in trouble later. But no, we really need to say, Lord, show me through Scripture, led in by Your Spirit, confirmation with somebody else. We really need to seek Him, because if we're trusting Him, guess what? We're going to Him. Amen? Amen. But a lot of times we find ourselves doing on our own strength, and that's when we get ourselves in trouble. One thing that I've learned in the past, and the youth groups learn as they're getting into the Word of God and applying to their lives, what happens when you don't heed the Word of God? You get yourself in trouble. We see that Peter, you know, he didn't listen to the Lord, got himself. Lord told him, you're going to deny me 3 times. Lord, no, I'll never. What happened? He did. Got himself in trouble. When the Lord speaks, we need to respond, church. And guys, there's so much power in that. It's amazing. Sometimes situations or other things may cause a weakening of our faith, but we need once again to stay focused and wait on God's promises. Guys, are you heeding the Word of God? Church, are you heeding the Word of God? A lot of times we lie to ourselves. Amen? Like that song, Anchor Deep, My Feelings Lie. Don't go there. Sometimes I feel like the Lord's not even with me. Last night when I first started passing my kidney stone, I'm like, Lord, where are you? Bad timing. This ain't good. I was all, I'm right here. Come to me. I will ease the pain. And He did. Like I said, usually I always have to go to the hospital for this. And I didn't have to. It was the Lord touching me, giving me just as much as I need to get my attention to go home, get the rest I need so I can be here. See, if you respond to God, He's going to work everything out. Might not always be the way we expect it or think, but His ways are better than ours. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to look at a promise God made to Abraham. The whole chapter is about Abraham. And I love it, because we can take a human, someone that, again, had a pagan background, God somehow made Himself known, and what did He do? He believed, and encountered what? Righteousness. He just believed, and it was counted righteousness. And we see, we're going to look at verse 13 through 20, as we see the promise to Abraham and Sarah through Isaac, and how it didn't weaken his faith, but strengthen it. Romans chapter 4, verse 13, for the promise that would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, verse 16, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who on the contrary to hope, and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. Verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith and giving glory to God. Guys, it was nearly about 10 years of him waiting for the fulfillment of a seemingly impossible promise. Abraham's faith, rather than growing weak, grew stronger while he continued to give glory to God. Don't we want that? It's available to us. As we wait on the promises of the Lord, for him to come back to receive his church, there's nothing holding him back. He can take it at any time, guys. We need to be ready. But we need to be about our Father's business, telling other people what we believe. It's so imperative to tell people about our faith, why we do what we do, what motivates us is so important. In doing that, we build that trust. We get that relationship. And what happens? We have consistency. I think that's one of the biggest things Christians lack, is being consistent. But the more time you spend with him, the more consistency you will have. I challenge you. Serious. You know, do it and see what happens. I'll tell you now, your walk will never be the same. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more you're going to know his love, the more you can be transformed by his love. As we wait and keep our eyes focused on the Lord, the things important to him, we must once again stay focused on him. It's what he wants. It's what's important to him, not us. It's about what he thinks important. And as we seek him and he transforms, guess what? We'll have the same mind because of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to refer to it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It talks about how we have many clouds of witnesses through the word of God that has done this, that has trusted God. But what is it? They stay focused. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He must be our focal point. He must be the person that we are just totally in love with. And no one else has our attention the way he does. Amen? Serious, guys. That's the key. But somewhere you're going to be pulled this way, like silly putty. I like that stuff. It goes every way. I mean, we get tried to pull so many. I mean, it's so funny. What was it? Yeah. But I prayed and I repented. Wednesday night. The Harvest guys are out here, and I'm out there helping out Steve and Josh and the guys from Harvest, and everyone's pulling me 1,000 different ways, man. And my biggest thing is like, leave me alone. But I just pray, I'm like, Lord. You know, then Tom come in and help me out and some of the other people. But it's like, you need to stop, especially when you start getting frustrated, and seek the Lord and pray in your head. You know, that's where scripture, gentle word turns away wrath. I love that verse. I'm paraphrasing. It's a proverb, I believe. But that's when we heed the word of God. That's when we start maintaining that consistency to hit everything we need to do. But we need to stay focused. Our mind needs to be on heavenly things and not earthly things. Amen? Guys, we're so caught up in the things of this world. I mean, it's a personal conviction on what you guys do with your free time. But I tell you right now, you're at church or you're reading your devotion time. You're totally getting into, oh, I'm so spiritual. It feels so good, Lord. I'm so... And then all of a sudden, you put your mind in some of this world, or you're watching way too much TV, this stuff that's just not edifying, and you start becoming like it again. Amen? It starts pulling you back. Be careful. Why is a serpent gentle as doves? We need to know that we need to keep an arm's distance in things of this world, because it can consume us. And with all that, my last passage of scripture is Colossians chapter 3. I love this chapter. It just puts everything back in perspective. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and I love the Apostle Paul. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. See, it tells us how to do it, guys. For you died, verse 3, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ as your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, here's the bad list. Put to death your members which are of the earth, fornication and uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness. There we go again. Which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourself are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off that old man with its deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is in all, is all and in all. Therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, weakness, long-suffering. Verse 13, I love, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Church, we struggle with this. I got a couple minutes, I can go off. If you have something against somebody, go to them. The Word of God tells us we need to bear with one another. Yes, some people seem to be unbearable. Amen? But if God loves them, so are you. You got to look at people the way God does. If not, you ain't going to love the way He does. Period. You're going to look at all their imperfection, all their annoyingness, and you're not going to want to deal with them. And then guess what? Division. Satan comes in. Rumors. Oh, that just kills the church. Rumors, this or that. Go to the source. Talk to them. Find out what's going on. Because then guess what? You're doing what God said. You love me what? Keep my commandments. And doing that, then you'll trust and become more like Him. But we really need to put it into practice. And I love bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint, here we go. I already overstepped the scripture. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. Verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, I love. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Guys, if we apply daily the word of God, and the power and the wisdom that comes from it, it will build the relationship of trusting Him the way we should. And again, intimacy produces consistency. You guys know the scriptures. Now, trust in them. Trust in Him so He can get you where you need to be each and every day. This is a journey, man. And I take every day, this is the way I look at things. Every day is a life test and life lesson. I learn from all my mistakes, and it shows me where my heart's at. God says, okay, what are you going to do with this? Sometimes you do good, sometimes we fail, amen? But God still loves you the same, but He wants you to learn from your mistakes. That's why I try to tell the kids. You know, I tell the kids, you know, a lot of you guys know, my past, my testimony, my body is really messed up. A lot of it's because of what I chose in my past, and it's affecting me now. So I tell the kids, be careful what you subject your body and your mind to. Because when you get older, the Bible says God will not be mocked. What? You'll reap what you sow. So true. I contribute a lot of the things that I happen to in my physical right now is what I did in the past. But now it's like I try to seek the Lord. It's okay, Lord, every day, give me the strength. Give me the love. Give me the compassion. Continue to make yourself real to me. So I just exhorting you guys that, you know what? We say that we love Him, but then guess what? We need to really wholeheartedly trust Him. Have the band come on out. We're going to do communion. Okay? I do it a little different than I've heard. So, here they come. Band's going to come out. My guys, come on up. So the gentleman is going to pass out the elements while I stay up here and pray. And guys, this is an awesome time to really examine where your walk's at, where your relationship with the Lord is at. Is it time to just really get so close to Him? Again, this is for Christians. You know, if you haven't received the Lord, I'll give you an opportunity to do so. I believe most of you guys know the Lord, but I don't want to assume. But I know there's a lot of people in here that need to do business with the Lord. Amen? Some people need to rededicate their lives. Some people just need to be prayer. I had three people come up for service seeking for prayer, and that was like one of the most intimate, awesome things I've done in so long. And that's what it's about. And you guys in the first service was praying, we lifted hands and extended our hands. It was just what the family does. And it's amazing. So let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for another opportunity to immerse ourselves in Your Word. And Lord, as we observe communion, Lord, You initiated this in the upper room with your buddies, Lord, with Your 12 disciples, Lord. So we do this in remembrance of You, Lord. So bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord, You are amazing. You are wonderful, Lord. And as we pour out everything, Lord, we don't hold anything back, Lord. It's all Yours. Consume us. And Lord, we thank You for this opportunity to observe communion, Lord. We thank You for what this cracker represents. It represents Your body broken and bruised for us. You took the beating so we wouldn't have to. So, Lord, that is love. Lord, help us to trust in Your love. So we thank You, praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Lord, we thank you so much that we can rely on your love. We can rely on you completely by trusting in you. Lord, we thank you for what this cup represents. This represents your blood spilt for us, the atonement of our sins. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord. We know what we're forgiven, Lord. But Lord, as we're here in this room, Lord, make us white as snow. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Help us, Lord, to walk in your ways. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, guys, stand up. I want to kind of just extend the invitation. First of all, if there's anyone that doesn't know the Lord, or thank you, and you're confused about it, I'll give you an opportunity to come on up here. We're going to do another song that wasn't really planned. We did it for service. But if anyone needs to make a rededication or do some business with the Lord just for prayer, I'm going to ask you guys to come on up and just kind of fill up the stairs as you feel led. Okay? Don't be shy. Who cares what anyone thinks? If you need prayer, if you have kind of fallen away, or maybe you're not trusting in Him and you just need your strength, faith, and come on up for prayer. You know, and if you need to rededicate your life, there's a lot of times that we walk astray and the Lord's getting our attention through services to bring us back. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, so much for this morning, Lord. It's time of your word, time of worship, time of communion. Lord, we're the body of Christ being knitted together. And I thank you so much, Lord, as we can see that, Lord, that you are doing a miraculous work among our church. And we thank you, Lord, because we know it's you by your Spirit doing this. So, Lord, as we play this song, I pray you would just put on the hearts of those that need to come up here to come up for whatever reason they would come on up. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for the hearts that came forward, Lord, just for prayer, Lord. Someone asking for a clean heart, Lord. We all desire that, Lord. Lord, just create in us a clean heart, Lord. Help us to walk in your ways, Lord. And I thank you for everyone here. What we're going to do, Pastor Mark does this all the time, we're going to renew our vows as a church. So we're going to do the sinner prayer. So you guys, let's repeat after me. Dear Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you what you're doing in our lives. Help us to follow your lead. Help us, Lord, in our struggles. Increase our faith. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Guys, before I dismiss you, you guys need to be praying for one another. Again, I shared in first service, I've noticed like in the last 6 months, there's a lot of people praying around our church. The pastors, we pray every week for, you know, an hour, and it seems only like 15 minutes. It's amazing. The women's group prays. Guys, praying is knitting us together. We're becoming a unit. I can see the family. I can see what it's producing. But we need to be praying for one another. We might go to different services, this or that. It don't matter. We are the family of God. So we need to just kind of kick it up a notch and let's do this. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.